Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino. On this episode, we talk with Australian-based author, kinesiologist, mentor, and life coach, Amanda Cape. She was born in Perth, grew up in Adelaide, and spent 11 years in London and Hertfordshire before moving to Melbourne in 2011. While the corporate game in London fed her need for success and her life goals at the time, it was not personally sustainable throughout the child-rearing years. She was on her own, across the other side of the globe, from her family and without support. She needed to prioritize motherhood and her children. This loss of self was what began her journey to kinesiology and the life that she's living today. Enjoy this interview.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good.
Good. Thanks for taking a minute out.
Yeah. That's all right. Whereabouts are you based?
I am in the middle of America in Kansas City, Missouri.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. I haven't been to the middle yet.
Yeah, it's...
I would love to travel.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's an old jazz town, and it's kind of a hub for trains and transportation, and it's, I mean, historically, it's been kind of that kind of city. How about you? Where are you at exactly?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. Yeah, Australia has always been one of those magical places in my brain. I've heard so many good things about it. So
awesome.
I got to get there. Well, at any rate, thank you for taking a minute out. And I want to ask you before we get in to your life, which is there's so many things going on. I want to know, how did you survive COVID? We're coming out of that 2 years of lockdown and chaos and all kinds of things. And how did that time period change you?
Oh, goodness. I don't think anyone came out the same way they went in. For me, there were so many blessings in it. There was a lot of reflection and quiet time. There was a lot of spiritual deep diving. There was a lot of connection to self. And, you know, I guess there was also that going down rabbit holes and discerning where I wanted my energy to go and all of that sort of stuff in terms of what was actually going on, because so much of what we got over here was just BS, really. And then, you know, the harshness of the lockdowns is still affecting Melbourne, you know, even now, because people are still in trauma from what happened. And we obviously had some of the harshest restrictions in the world and some of the hardest lockdowns in the world. And people are still suffering from that. I know a lot of people who've lost their business, who've committed suicide, who have, you know, it's kind of the unspoken thing. You know, if we'd had COVID ravage our population, I think we would have done less damage than we did with the mental health that we're now seeing and the trauma patterns we've now seen and the suicide and small business decimation that we've seen.
You know, what's interesting when you talk about kind of the way it was carried out, you know, kind of the buffoonery that went into it, did you have what America had, which was basically, you know, people doubting science and all of that? Was that going on in Australia?
Look, you know, what we had extremes on both sides. And I think that was the hard part. You know, there was nobody standing in the middle ground willing to have a nuanced conversation, including politicians. And, you know, so coming from a natural health perspective and having had a bad reaction myself, you know, the vaccine, which was purported as the only thing to do, wasn't right for everybody. And I was dealing with a lot of vaccine injury in my clinic. Now, again, I'm not saying it wasn't right for everybody, but, you know, I was lumped with all the other natural health practitioners who, a lot of whom seemed to go down that conspiratorial route. And I'm like, all I want is a nuanced conversation. You know, for me, if anyone says trust the science, well, then they're not actual scientists, because scientists are always asking questions and always seeing how they can improve and always seeing new ways to look at things. And that, for me, was the really important stuff. Well, this is a new thing. This is going to emerge. This is going to change. And which science are we treating here? Like, are we looking at biology? Are we looking at the chemistry? Are we looking at the trauma picture? Are we looking at mental health and the more, you know, personal sciences? You know, which one are we looking at here? And so for me, it was more about, I just want to have a conversation and find out why we've only got one viewpoint where there is actually multiple viewpoints that could be correct here. And I think that's my view on life in general, is let's come bring it to the middle ground, because the middle ground felt very, very empty and alone.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It
there
did.
There was no nuanced conversation.
Yeah, it was very polarized here in the States. So
Yeah.
So to get an idea of who you are and exactly what you do, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders at a grade school, and it's going to be career day. And one of the kids is going to look up at you, and they're going to say, what do you do for a living, and how are you qualified to do it? How would you answer that child?
It's really funny. You have no idea how many times I get asked that question by adult human beings, because what I do is one of those things. Kinesiology, what, huh?
Yep.
Like, what is that? What do you do? So for me, kinesiology is... In the States, it is very much about muscle movement. The way I work is it's about energy movement. So it is how your entire being is working. And what we do is we base it in quantum physics. And so, you know, that sounds really challenging when I say that. But basically, when you boil it down, quantum physicists have proven the universe is 4% physical matter. So when I look at this human meat suit that we're walking around in, that is 4% of the picture. And there's this other 96% that often gets ignored, which is our mental, spiritual, emotional, energetic, metaphysical, transformational, relational, financial, hormonal, all these other things. All of those pictures paint into the totality of who we are. And what my job is to work out why your body, why every aspect of you is not aligning the way that you would ideally want it to align for your ultimate health. So I'm not looking at you being not sick. I am looking at you being the most healthy, vital expression of yourself that you could be. And the way I've done that is through years and years of study. I did 6 years worth of study in 4 years. I have taken not just the Diploma of Kinesiology, but I have done the International Advanced Diploma of Kinesiology. I've done advanced hormones and glands study, quantum neurology, advanced kinesiology techniques. I've also done my Reiki 1 and 2. I have also done TBM. There's the first three modules of TBM, which is total body modification, another sort of form of kinesiology. And I've also done my archetypal life coaching training. So a lot of my work is very trauma-informed, and it understands how we as humans have been built from the ground up, with our societal conditioning, our parental conditioning, our, you know, schooling influences, our friendship influences, all of these things that build in to make that totality of who we are and how we've gotten to where we are, and to not be thriving the way that we are meant to thrive.
So when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I actually wanted to be very first. When I was about 3 or 4, I wanted to be a bus driver and own a petrol station so I could fill up my bus on the way to work. Because I thought it looked like fun.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like fun having that really big steering wheel and the bouncy seat and opening the door and taking money. And, you know, that was in the days where you had to pay for buses with coins, of course, showing my age a bit, you know. There was no tap and ride, you know, but it looked like fun to me driving everyone to work and then picking everyone up on the way home.
Yeah, that's cool. I love it. So let me ask you this. You know, you're obviously a very highly energetic, highly driven human being. How did those seeds get in you early on? How did you become who you are now?
You know, I think I've always had that creative bent. There's always, you know, I was very good at playing the piano, for example. I just didn't like the practice and the forcedness to it. You know, parents and teachers and everyone sort of, you know, going, you have to practice this many times a week. And, like, I didn't like the structure aspect. I wanted to get and be creative and not have that structure. And, of course, in school, at home, in lessons, everything gets forced into a structure. So my creativity works a lot better these days because I'm able to flow with it and see where it takes me. But I think they've always been there. I was always quite an introverted child. And I loved that quietness and the stillness of being within. and looking within and just being with myself and my imagination. And a lot of the time I was sort of almost forced out of myself because society, you know, prefers extroverts. So I was, you know, and I was such a people pleaser. I would do what everybody else wanted me to do and be to, you know, to be loved and to be liked. Clearly that didn't work so well for many years. I'm better at it now.
Yeah. So who would you consider a hero or a role model for you?
I guess the first one for me is Wayne Dyer. He lived life on his terms. He was a very spiritual man. He influenced a lot of people, and his work still influences me today. I love Brené Brown, if you're looking for, you know, I guess, ones that are still alive. I love her research. I think it is so grounded and real and gives language to difficult concepts. And that's what I try and do with, I guess, this more spiritual work that I do, is bring it really into grounded reality and look at the fact that, yes, we're divine beings, but we are also messily human, and we need to honor and love that part of ourselves. We can't, you know, if we're all monks on a mountaintop, it would probably be quite easy to be, you know, a 24/7 spiritual person, but with life and with challenges and with stress and with all of those material things that we have to do in this day and age, I think we need to bring that lesson into a really grounded place that is actionable and that is as, you know, as pure as we can be, with also accepting the fact that, you know, shit happens, so to speak.
Indeed it does. So if you could meet anybody alive on the planet right now, who would you love to meet and talk to?
Oh, God, there are so many. Who would I love to speak to most? Part of me goes, you know, I'd love to get inside Putin's head, because he's an interesting person.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd sit down and chat with me. You know, I love that humanity aspect, that really weirdness. I would love to speak to Elon Musk, because, again, he's one of those really out there crazy thinkers. I would love to sit and chat with Brené Brown, because she is, again, she's a phenomenal thinker, and the way that she is able to take these concepts and make them so easy to understand. For me, it's about that really intelligent aspect, but it's almost about what's going on behind that and how they bring that incredible creativity and spark out into the world. I love that process.
Yeah, for sure.
So there are a few.
not that
Putin has that creativity and incredible spark, but he's just one person that I'm like, human behavior-wise, you'd be an interesting person to try and figure the hell out.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. So, speaking of spark, what drives you every day? What is it that you look forward to every day you wake up?
You know, for so many years, I lived my life thinking that this world was hard and boring, and it was Groundhog Day, and, you know, that was all there was. And since I started living life to my own truth and my own internal guidepost, I see the wonder and the awe and the magic in every day, including in the monotony. And I will find those little sprinklings of magic and revel in them. And they are what give me the juice to, you know, not just to do the incredibly amazing stuff, like talk to people across the other side of the world and to get up and write, or to get up and service clients or whatever it is. It gives me the spark during those more monotonous times where, you know, you have to do the things that life expects of you.
So of all of the things that you've done in your life, what's been the best fan letter, best response from somebody based on the work you've done?
It was actually pretty early on. I'd only been practicing a few years, And I had seen this young girl. She was in her, I don't even know that she's quite hit her teens yet, or she was early teens, and she'd been self-harming. And I had 15 minutes with her at a festival, and I was like, what the hell am I going to do in 15 minutes with this young girl? Anyway, did what I could. I asked for the, you know, divine to step in and just give her whatever message it was that she needed through me as a conduit. And obviously didn't see her then, you know, she walked off and left, and that was it as far as I was concerned. But I was back at the festival the next year again as a practitioner, and this girl sought me out, and her mum just gave me the biggest hug and said she hasn't harmed herself since she saw you.
Wow.
And that was, you know, obviously not immediate feedback, but holy hell, that just, it still makes me teary thinking about it. It's like to have that impact was an absolute honor.
So of all of the wisdom that you've gained in your life, let's say you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger version and you have to give your younger version a piece of advice. What would that be? What would you tell your younger version?
You know, my whole life I've listened to my intuition, but I was too afraid to act on it. And I would tell her to damn well act on all of those inklings she's getting, because every single one was right. Every single one was right. And hindsight's a bitch.
Yep. It certainly can be. I get it. Absolutely. So what has been one of your favorite go-to, let's say, albums or books or piece of art in your life that you've always loved?
I keep going back to The Alchemist and The Prophet. The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho and The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. I think those two very small, very accessible, you know, quite short books really are just so profound. And they're so artistically written. And they have so many layers of meaning to them that every time I pick them up, I get something new.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your clients, mm-hmm. but everybody has, they all have their separate perception, but you're the one living your life. What's your perception mm-hmm. of you? Who do you think you are?
A damn messy human being trying to do our best to make the world a better place.
Perfect. So Amanda Kate, if anybody out there wants to know more about you, your books, your life, anything at all, your services that you provide, where can they go?
To www.amandakate.com.au.
Wonderful. Amanda, thank you for opening up today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Domino. We cover the world of art, literature, medicine, and music from around the globe. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.